Hello and welcome to the weekly podcast of the Community Praise Center Alexandria Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to teach and inspire you while you listen. Delivering this week's message is Community Praise Center's Senior Pastor, Henry Wright.
Praise his holy name for the trust. Well, let's get to our work today. Father, we thank you so much for all that you are. Speak now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the house of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, the earth beneath, or the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy, thank you, God, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's the second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. That's the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know that one. Come on. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do how much work? Any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates. The sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. That's the fourth commandment, a commandment that Ellen White says will be a focus issue in the last days. Fifth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And today, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The commandment of contentment. We have been learning a great deal, have we not? Yes. Getting texts and emails from all over the world about these sermons on the commandments. First one teaches us not to put before God ourselves, not to worship the God of self. Second commandment teaches us to not follow our own direction. The third alerts us that wearing God's name is critical. Living up to what God wants you to be is critical. The fourth commandment teaches us that we are to remember and possess the Sabbath. We do this by especially keeping holy the seventh day, the day we call Saturday. And we're to keep that day like God gave it to us, the seventh and holy. Fifth commandment puts us into a position where we must honor our parents, not our good parents, not our bad parents, but our parents. Period. God honors the position of parenting. Even if he doesn't honor what the parent does. And in the second part of that commandment, we studied it twice, we found out that the Lord is not into these alternate versions of his of the family that he created. And that any alternate versions of the family should be biblically based. Remember we studied that? The commandment, thou shalt not kill, we learned that God is talking about murder, and that the real murder is our motives and attitudes as we deal with people. We can murder bloodlessly, we learned in that commandment. The seventh commandment taught us the importance of commitment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not change your commitment. Seventh commandment addresses sins bigger than sexual sins, but rather addresses a change of mind long before the illicit sex act is committed. Somebody let the devil crawl in their head, and that breaking that commandment implies a change in a commitment you made before you broke the commandment. Therefore, it's an act of betrayal, we learned from that commandment. The eighth commandment clearly deals with our relationship to man, at least on the surface. See, stealing is the act of a thief. The thief acts without the knowledge of the victim. So because God sees and knows everything, you can't steal from God. You can rob him, but you can't steal from him. Robbery is a bold act in the face of the victim, and an act of taking from God is carried out right in his face. That's why the Bible, talking about tithe, says, will a man rob God? Didn't say steal from God. He's looking at you when you spend his money. You just sit there in church, keep the tithe in your wallet, go to the store that Sunday, at the mall that Monday, spend his money in his face. Dare God to do anything about it. You can rob from God. You can't steal from him. But the eighth commandment on the surface is a man-to-man commandment. Stealing can be accomplished without the knowledge of the victim. And thus, an act of stealing says something quite alarming about the character of the thief. You see, stealing involves a willingness to take advantage of the situation. In fact, stealing involves some form of premeditation and planning. There is an intentionality implied in thievery, and then I might add, the act of stealing suggests discontent, dissatisfaction, because God has not provided something you want, and stealing also suggests a lack of appreciation for what God has already given you. Didn't give me enough, so I'll take more. Don't like what he gave me, so I'll take what I want from somebody else. Are you with me so far? The word used for stealing is the word ganab, which means really not just stealing as I just defined it, but robbery. See, when you don't return tithe, for instance, you steal from yourself and rob God. You steal from yourself because you're ignorant of the fact that when you don't return to the Lord tithe, then you are taking from your own salvation. I knew that'd be hard for you, so I'll do the amening now. Amen. I'll just carry that by myself. Amen. So a lot of times our thievery is a double act of both robbery and thievery. Are you with me? Now, the Bible, and I have to admit, and I preached so strongly the other Sabbath on the seventh commandment, Meshach, I said, we should not be partial to these commandments. Didn't you hear me say that? We should not have a hierarchy. Didn't I say that, Jermaine? I said that. But I really have a problem with a thief. I don't know what it is. It gets to me. Steal from me. And the Bible kind of agrees with me, because it makes some hard statements about thieves. Can we read some of those texts? All right. Exodus 21:16. Here we go. The Lord has an attitude about this thing, stealing. Exodus 21 and verse 16. Before we're done, you're going to realize you've been stealing and didn't even know it. Exodus 21 and verse 16. Look at this. Look at this text. Look at this text. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely what? Yeah. Look at Exodus 22, 1 through 4. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Have mercy. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. In other words, the thief gets caught, don't cry. It's the Bible talking. Lord, have mercy. How can y'all sit there so calm? Look at verse 3. If the sun be riseth upon him, and there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he hath nothing, then he shall be sold for a theft. In other words, you steal from somebody, you ain't got no money to pay it back, sell the thief. I told you. Bible's got an attitude about thieves. Look at verse 4. If the theft be certainly found in his hand, alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. These are hard texts, aren't they? See your response? That's what you just said. Look at Exodus 22. Exodus 22, starting in verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money, that's where I have problems, folks. Don't steal money from me. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, see, hold this for me. Haven't you done it? And it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand into his neighbor's goods. You borrow my lawnmower? Come tell me somebody stole it. This text says, take Seeley before the judge and see if that lawnmower is in his garage. I just read it. It's here in the Bible, Seeley. This is the word of the Lord. I'm trying to tell you all. See, I'm headed somewhere. I'm setting you up. God has got a problem with people who steal. You can almost get an ant here. It's like God is getting there. The more he talks about it, the angrier he gets. Call him in. Check him out. It's a thief. Deuteronomy 23. I'm just reading the text in the spirit that they're written, y'all. I'm not making anything up here. Deuteronomy 23. Oh, my Lord, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. In other words, you come by my house, got a cherry tree, you want to pick some cherries and eat them, fine, but keep that bowl. Don't be filling up no bowl with my cherries. What did the Bible say? You can snack what you can snack on while you're under the tree, but don't be filling up no bowl and taking my cherries. I just read it, y'all. This is right here in the Bible. This is something. I don't know of any commandment that has this much attention from God. Want to pick cherries, but don't come in with no sack taking cherries. Is that all right, Sanford? So there's and see, remember I said this is the commandment of contentment. See, what the Bible is getting at here, Jenny, is that you should, the Lord sees in the thief an aspect of dissatisfaction. Ain't got enough? Gonna take it. Which at the same time says, what God has given you, you're not satisfied. Do you see it? Do you see it? And then associated with this stealing is Exodus 22, 14 and 15. Look at this. 22, 14 and 15. Wrong book. Exodus 22. You're in the right book. I'm in the wrong book. Exodus 22, 14 and 15. If a man borrow or of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. You borrowed, or you wanted to use the man's puppy to do something. I don't know. The puppy died under your care. You got to come up with a puppy. That's what this is saying. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. So here we have the background. Thou shalt not steal. Now, what is the issue? There is a text in the Bible, Philippians 3:19. Remember that, Seely? My God shall supply all your what? According to his riches in glory, choir. Now, we start there, Renee. See, we're trying to get down to why, Deborah, is God so upset about stealing? And we said the root of the commandment is contentment. Did I not say that? All right, we're going to get to it now. God says, here's the problem. I take pride in being able to supply your needs. When you steal, you're accusing God of coming up short. Now, Dion, that's the profound point I want to make today. My God. See, and God has a, look at Deuteronomy 2:7. Look at Deuteronomy 2:7. God has got a, he's got a feeling about this. He's saying, wait a minute, I'm God. I make planets out of nothing. See, I grow trees where trees don't grow. I send manna from heaven. So when you go steal, you're saying, God has come up short. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7. This thing is really, really deep. When I got into this thing, I said, Lord, have mercy. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the words of his hand. See that? With me? Deuteronomy 2:7. Finish it with me. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Everybody, these 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast what? Lacked nothing. Now, God is bragging now. You take God's tithe, for instance, and spend it on food. God says, wait a minute, I can take care of the food. You don't need to rob me and have a meal. I'll put groceries on your porch with no effort. You don't have clothes? Come to me, ask. You have to go down to the store and put stuff underneath your coat and walk out with it, hoping the thing don't buzz. No, God says, I'm the clothes provider. Did he not say in Matthew? He said, look, he said, take no thought. Look at the lilies and the grass. Have I not more care for you than that? How dare you, he says, make me look bad, a Christian, and steal? God takes your thievery personally. It's a reflection on his provision. Psalm 31:19. Don't you see how deep this thing is now, y'all? We can't take this thing lightly because God doesn't. Psalm 31 and verse 19. The Lord's still talking about how he provides. 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of God. I take care of business, says God. I take care of business. So now think about it now. And I don't care whether it's a candy bar, whether it's a dresser in the store, whether whatever the case may be, whatever you've stolen, or somebody else's woman or man. I don't care what it is. God says, You're saying I can't handle that. So you go underhandedly and receive and take. So you hadn't thought about that, had you? Stealing is a reflection on God. That's why he does not like it. Christian should be able to say, if I'm short, God is tall. Come on now. If I'm empty, God is full. If I'm weak, God is strong. We should be a walking testimony that if you need it, I said need it, I didn't say want. Did I say want? I did say need, didn't I? If you need it, I'll supply it. Somebody ought to give God some glory right now. That's the God we serve. So for Elijah in the wilderness, for Samaria in the siege, for the multitude that heard Christ preach, God takes pride in the taking five loaves and two fish and feeding 5,000. Isn't that a wonderful story? These are things that God puffs out his chest about. How dare you steal when I can provide? And so he declares, lo, I am with you always, even to the end. So we can break the eighth commandment by seeking to supply by spurious means our needs. God says, I can supply my way. And see, that's the part you have trouble with. Because you done prayed, see? And he don't seem to be doing nothing, Jermaine. And sometimes God does that purposely. I'm not going to turn God into some kind of a slot machine. You pray, he gives. Because the purpose of prayer is not to get things from God. The purpose of prayer is to get God. See, supplying stuff, that's not for God. Remember, he speaks. He speaks. Trees popping up, speaks. Suns form, speaks. Air appears, speaks. The fowls fly, speaks, and the fish swim. So there's no problem with God supplying. So when you pray and ask the Lord for stuff, what you're really after is God's will in your life. And our problem is God doesn't always supply our way. See, we have one thing in mind. Lord, I need transportation. So I go down to the Mercedes dealer. God is waiting at the motorcycle shop for you. When they going to show up where I am? You said you needed transportation. Bicycles are transportation. I was talking to someone the other day that said, you know, Pastor, I put in special orders for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you better end that prayer with thy will be done. Can I get a witness in God's house? So God supplies, but his way. See, his way. You've heard me talk about how I've prayed for years. The Lord would do something with these lungs. And he hasn't done anything with these lungs except help me preach. Ain't healed these lungs. They're a mess. Says when you're ready to preach, I'll take care of the lungs. In between time, just be glad you can breathe. That's how he's treated me for the last 40 years. And I thank you for that. I enjoy breathing. It's a great experience. The alternative is absolutely unacceptable. Somebody say amen. My point is that God supplies his way. Put it in his hands. Don't take it out. The thief is saying, I don't trust you. Don't like the way you're doing stuff. That's what the thief is saying. Now, the second way we break the commandment is by a misuse of what God supplies. The first is dissatisfaction with what I don't have. But the second is dissatisfaction, Rob, with what he supplies. I want to talk about just three things that God gives everybody. Time, talent, and influence. Everybody got them. If you sit in this room, you got time. If you have any time, you'll be in the graveyard. So you got time. You're sitting there. You got time. You have talent. You have talent. Remember, the Bible lists simple talents like kindness. Helps. Everybody got to Everybody got the talent of help. You can help anybody. And then the last one, influence. Influence. Now I want to talk to the fathers. It was Father's Day. You thought I forgot. I'm a father. Father's Day. One of the great gifts that a father gives to his family is his time. Time. Some of you sitting here right now grew up in homes where father was never available. And you were stained and pained by that. And so if you're a father sitting here today and God has given you the gift of time, 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 just time with the kids, time playing, time talking, just time, time. It's a great gift to give somebody your time, isn't it? When you think of the multitude of things that you face and the multitude of things you have to do and the demands on your schedule, when you carve out time, husband time, father time, uncle time, grandfather time, brother for your younger brother, when you squeeze out time, when you make time, it's a great gift. In that moment, you're making someone very, very special. One of the joys of mine as a pastor is to just take time with a person. Just to take time. Sit and talk to them. Take time. Take time. Some of you understand that and you are very gifted about taking time with elderly people. Just take time. Listen to them talk. Let them reflect and remind. It's a great gift. And a father who's learned the value of time. Time is not sitting in front of the TV. Time is more personal than that. It got quiet, so I guess I have to take care of it myself. Amen. But then I'm going to take time to another level. See, we're talking about stealing. The old lady says in the book, Christ Object Lessons, this is a chilling statement, that God will judge us on our use of time more than any other gift. See, it takes time to tell a lie. It takes time to gossip. It takes time to argue. It takes time to eat the wrong thing. Takes time to watch a porno movie. Time. And the reason why the Lord is so concerned about time, see, time and life go hand in hand. There's no time without life, and there's no life without time. And so time. And so what you have to measure is this. See, and here's what God's looking at. When you talk about judging time, here's what he's looking at. He's saying, okay. And you know, God is fair. So you want to spend 2.5 hours watching Miami and San Antonio? God says, okay. Okay. That's all right. When am I going to get them 2.5 hours reading my Bible? See, that's how he is. You know, he ain't going to say, thou shalt not watch Miami and San Antonio. No, ain't God. No. Go ahead. But what about some time with me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Time. Talents. Talents given, but wasted due to misuse or no use. See, remember the sin of the guy with the one talent, Seeley, was not misuse of the talent. It was no use of the talent. His crime was not misuse. And do nothing with it. Buried it. There are too many people in the pews of the church who have buried their talent. It's because we got let ego get in the way. I was at a church preaching not too long ago, and one of our former members was there, singing their head off. And I said, I didn't know you could carry a tune in a bucket. Well, I see, Pastor, so much talent at CPC. I said, excuse me. I said, I hope you're not handing God that junk. And you know I said it. Now you know me. You know I said it. Don't doubt that I said it. I said, I know you're not handing God that junk. Well, I said, I don't hear no well. If you can sing here, you can sing there. Are you listening to me, folk? Because watch me now. The minute that you let other people's talents intimidate you about your talent, then you become self-indulgent about your talent. Who said you've got to be the best? The fact that I can out-sing you doesn't mean you shouldn't sing. So if you won't sing because you ain't the best, then your problem is not your voice. Your problem is your head, your ego. So you go to some small church and sing where they all think you... Talents are given for service. You're not to select where you use them, but use them. Well, I can't teach the absolute lesson as well as Elder Seeley. A lot of folk can't teach the absolute lesson as well as Elder Seeley. But a lot of folk can teach the Sabbath school lesson. And then the talent of influence. Influence. That's a big one, Daddy. See, children watch more who you are and what you do than what you say. That's the thing I rejoice in about my dad, the old man I called him, 95 strong, consistent. Didn't say a lot. So much. So y'all, a lot of y'all tease me about the fact the pastor always got his car clean. My dad never drove a dirty car. Come in after work, wash up the Buick, shine the white walls. She'll have a suit on. Never got a drop of water on his shoes. Neat as a pin. Yeah. I remember driving home from the seminary one time with my car. It's all dirty. Drove up. Dad didn't say hi. Looked at my car and said, you got a problem, fella? Said, Dad, I'm home. You got a problem here? He said, we got buckets in the back. Now, you're laughing, but Dad was teaching me a simple principle of consistency. The thing I learned from my dad was consistency. He didn't say to me, thou shalt be consistent. He was consistent. Daddies, are you listening to me? Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it, and I'm going to leave this point. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts. Known how, come on church, finish it, known how, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but how, folk? But in fleshy tables of the heart. That's who we are. Thou shalt not steal time from God and others. Thou shalt not steal talents from time and others. Thou shalt not steal influence from God and from others. To keep you from falling into the pitfall of stealing from yourself and others, and robbing God of your time, talent, and influence, you must see yourself as a steward, not an owner. Did you follow that? In fact, I would suggest today that the minute you become an owner in your attitude, you cannot be a steward and you will become a thief. I want to illustrate this by looking at just one aspect of where we're stealing from ourselves and from God. It's called health. What word did I say? I could use a lot of examples. I'm going to use health. You know, Exodus 15:26 says, God didn't want any of these diseases to be upon his people. Remember that? And then John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So God's desire is that his people be do well. And then the Bible gets even more to show you that we got a stealing problem here. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:19-10, he says, you're not your own. You're bought with a what? Price. So when you mistreat your body, whose body is it? So if you do things that bring bad health, you are stealing God's health, but more his body. See, why should a diabetic die early when some simple self-discipline would extend their life? Diabetes, which is common amongst African-American people, is one of the most curable diseases on the planet. But it requires stewardship. Why is the person with high blood pressure and high cholesterol still eating flesh food? Oh, there we go again. Watch to help him. Amen. The body is not yours. The health is not yours. So when you put things in that body that you know are detrimental to your existence, you are robbing God right in his face. Hey, that's my health. That's my body. How dare you? He goes on to say, don't you not? You're temples of the Holy Spirit. Then he gets even tough and says, him who destroys the temple, God will destroy. Bad health practices are one of the most common forms of thievery going on in the church. Think about it. You die early, you are stealing from God the years he planned to use you as his witness. You don't have the right to die before God wants you to. He owned you. He died for you. He bought you. You got to be here till he says, I'm through using you. You cannot shorten your life by intentional bad health practices. Get on up out of that bed in the morning and walk. Drink water rather than. Get out on that sunshine. Walk whether it's cold or hot. And Pastor, I just can't walk in the cold weather. You know, supposing Jesus. God, I'm willing to go to the cross, but now I can't deal with no pain. Pain. I'll go, but that's with that pain stuff. See, a lot of stuff we're saying, folks, you know, fresh air, exercise, sunshine, water, rest and temperance, and somebody comes to the church, makes a health presentation, place is packed. Packed. We feed the lunch and everything, packed. And then, Pastor, oh, wonderful, yes, yes. And then we bring the man back on Sunday. Place is packed. People lined up, blood pressure, blood work, yes. Buying pills and deals and stuff. Oh, yes. Lasts about 5 seconds. You're stealing from God. Then you're too sick to come to church. Blood all slowed down, barely getting to work. Come Sabbath morning, can't rise up. All that flesh and fat in your blood system slowing you down. Get to church, barely get to church. Sitting up there nodding, pastor preaching loud, nodding. Can't preach loud enough to get you to wake up. All leaned over, broken down, busted out. Warts all over his face, boils and stuff. Feet got knots, back got pain. You're stealing from God. He needs you to come to church, up after church, passing out tracts, knocking on doors. No, you barely, can barely get home, fall on the bed, lay activities for the rest of the Sabbath. No, folks, this thing is serious. Thou shalt not steal. You thought I was coming with some light sermon today? No, this thing is serious and deep. It's deep. Brother Allen read a text. It was Isaiah 14. You read it well, Damon. I appreciate it very much, with great emphasis. 12 through 14. Just hold a bit, Reg. Hold a bit. We're almost ready. And in that passage, he was reading about Lucifer. Remember? The text begins with asking a question. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou fallen? How didst thou come down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I. And then proceeds all these eyes. You see where I'm going, don't you? He sought to steal and rob God of God's place. See, the real breaking of the eighth commandment, Donna Flannery, is when you assert yourself in your life above God. And in that moment, you become Lucifer, who says, God, get off the throne of my life. I will now sit there and declare which way I will go. Thief! God says, go right, you go left. Thief! God says, you cannot, you say, I will. Thief! Breaker of the eighth commandment. God in charge. God on his throne. You yank him off. Amen. Yeah. And so he turned Adam and Eve into thieves. Ye shall be as gods. Genesis 3:5. Knowing good and evil. In that moment they stole God's place and put themselves in his place. Thou shalt not steal. Patriarchs and Prophets sums it up. Both public and private sins are included in this commandment. The eighth commandment condemns man stealing, slave dealing, and wars of conquest. He condemns theft and robbery. It demands strict integrity. What word did I use? My next commandment is going to be on integrity. In the minutest details of the affairs of life, it forbids overreaching in trade and requires the payments of debts and wages. You go down and make arrangements to buy that new washing machine and dryer and to make monthly payments. You ain't got no money. Thief. You want to argue and get an attitude when they come and pick it up? Thief. It declares that every attempt. Watch this. The commandment declares that every attempt to advantage oneself by ignorance, that is, taking advantage of somebody else's ignorance or weakness or misfortune, is registered as fraud in the books of heaven. Got a question for you. Did you do any stealing this week? Commandment covers a lot more than we thought, didn't it? A lot more breaking of the eighth commandment than we thought. I'm guilty too, folk. You know I never preached down to you. This commandment punched at me, Emanuela. I had to look at this and say, what? You know, you don't like for the Lord to just really hit you in the face. Several times in this sermon as I prepared, the Lord said, got you. I said, yeah. you do any stealing this week? Is any area that we've touched on today where you now see that you have been guilty of theft? Well, what I like about God, Tanya, He's a merciful guy. Isn't He something? My grace, Michelle Baker, is sufficient for thee. Isn't He something? My grace is sufficient for thee. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, no chastening for the present. Hebrews 12:11 seemeth joyous but grievous, but in the end it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that take the spanking. So today He kind of worked on us. He woke us up. See, we didn't quite see it, but now we see it. Some stealing of time from God. I see things now, Ro, I didn't see. I see it now, and I realize the eighth commandment is very critical to my life. And so the issue is raised by the song, is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? Have you? Because we started with a dissatisfaction with what God has provided. And then a misuse of what He has provided. Have you put your all on the altar? Have you yielded your way to His way? Or are you still stealing from God's intentions for your own? Well, Donna, let's hear some words of this song.
And for faith to increase, you have earnestly, so fervently, really prayed. But you cannot find rest,
well,
nor be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Heart, does the spirit controlled? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment all the way? You must do His sweet will to be free from all evil. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice lay? Your heart, does the Spirit soul?
One of the things I like about studying the commandments is that if we had nothing else of the Bible but those 10 statements, Doctor, we'd have enough to be saved. You see how complete they are? They touch, Glenn, every phase of our existence. And when you consider, my dear young lady, that this is the only part of the Bible written by God Himself, then we can see why these 10 statements are so powerful. Do you see it? Let me talk to you now. Two appeals today. First, we can see that all of us have been doing a little stealing. Kind of kicked us around, didn't it? And I want to be able, Jennifer, to make peace with God. And say, hey, look. Okay. Don't like what I heard, but it was right to me. I needed to hear it. And I need to make some adjustments. And if that's where you are, just raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Keep it up. Keep it up. The angels record these moments, Ellen White says in church. When we raise our hand in response to the word, she says, the angel records it. Your hand is down. Yeah, we've been doing some stealing here and there. Wasn't quite clear to us, but now we see it, Yvonne Reese, a bit clear, and we have to go home and make some adjustments. At least we want to start giving God equal time. Huh? Is that fair? Yes, yes. You got that part. Second appeal. And when I make this appeal, then I need you to bow your heads and pray. Someone is sitting here. And as you witness these baptismal candidates about to go down into the water, you realize that maybe you've been stealing yourself from God, yea, robbing Him of your life. You've been thinking about making the commitment to His church, to His word, to His way. It's been on your mind. Surely it has. You've been coming here. Maybe you're a spouse or a young person in the church. You've never walked down the aisle, said, here I am. Or you got so far away, still want to appeal. You need to make that fresh start. Line up with Pastor Smith for the next baptism. You'd like to take your stand today for truth or for recommitment. Now, church, I need you to pray. Is there someone who will come in response to that second appeal? You'll get up and come. We have another verse in there, Donna, for me. You're praying, church. Maybe that person will get up. Say, here I am. I'm praying for you.
Who can tell?
Come from downstairs,
the
from the balcony,
he will
one of the overflow rooms.
Above,
please.
And or happy, our hearts will be made.
Place it all on the Lord right now. Quietly, instrumentalists. Thank you, Donna. Let's just wait and see here. I'm always comfortable being patient with the Holy Spirit. Is He talking to you? Please, just come. Some of the things you're trying to work out in your head while you're sitting there will only be worked out under the umbrella of God's grace. Will you come today? Finish my praying. Oh, I'm praying you'll slip up. Father God, my. Such a short little commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Ooh, my. Well, if it comes from you, it's got to be deeper than we thought. And even Lord, with what we have said, we've barely touched the surface. It's your word. We confess our robbery before you and our thievery from others. We confess it. But we thank you for the blessed word that will not allow us to live in darkness. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for that soul that just somehow resists, we pray your mercy. And upon these precious ones who day to be committed in water, we say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word today. In Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Was that a good word today? The Lord spoke to us today. He surely did. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Community Praise Center Alexandria, Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please visit us at www.cpcsda.org and use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and look forward to you joining us again next week. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.